Okay. Say something for me real quick.
Hello, hello.
All right, cool. We're good. All right, so first off, thank you very much for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
I'm just going to start off with basic questions. First off, who are we speaking with right now?
My name is Cecil Otter.
And you are with a group, kind of a group, I guess you'd say, Doomtree, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's a record label and group.
It is a record label. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah, we were curious about that. But a lot of you guys like, within your own label are signed with other labels as well. You're with Strange Famous, correct?
Yep, as well, yeah.
Okay.
Doomtree is one that we all built up, ground up, all of us together. And we've all kind of like moved on to other areas, but not, you know, quit Doomtree. The other labels we're connected with are very cool.
Nice, nice. All right, so as a musician, you know, what are your main influences, basically, and not just musically, maybe just anything?
Everything, basically. Lots of old, you know, classic rock, lots of old movies, books, paintings, anything that kind of draws emotion.
And you are originally from Minneapolis, correct?
Yep. Well, I was born in Mankato, Minnesota.
Right.
And lived in Hopkins and then moved to Minneapolis.
Right. Okay. How's Minneapolis looking like these days? Tell us about it. We're out here in Boulder, Colorado, you know. How is it over there in the Minneapolis area?
Oh, it's always beautiful out there. Lots of good people, and the music scene is always great, and it's really open to change, you know, whereas as far as other cities I've been to, it's not as, you know, there's not as much of a melting pot kind of thing going on where, you know, if you go on tour, they choose every opening act to be hip-hop, whereas in Minnesota, it's like you play with rock, folk, doo-wop, whatever, and you put every kind of music together, and it's a big kind of a friendship in the city between artists.
Right. All right, yeah, And, you know, do you have any fresh tracks coming out, actually? Maybe some of those new, what are those, the drops that you guys do with the Doomtree?
Yeah, I do. I'm going into recording in a couple of months. And me and Laserbeak are working on remixing all of Rebel Yell too to give us free streaming. Sampling like Grizzly Bear and Beirut and stuff like that. Stuff we obviously can't sell, but we think it's going to sound really nice, and we'll be leaking some songs from Porcelain Revolver, hopefully within the next few months.
Okay. You know, within hip-hop, you know, what element within hip-hop do you think you as an artist connect with mostly?
I guess rhyming in 4/4.
That's the best way to put it. You know, on your album, we've been listening to a lot of your album here at KJLR.
Oh,
it's definitely tight. We definitely did you produce the music for it as well?
Yeah.
Or
yeah, produced all of it. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Thank you.
So you also did Rebel Yell, correct?
Yeah. Oh wait,
yeah,
which? Yeah, yeah. I did. I did all of Rebel Yell, all the production.
Right. Right. Okay. You know, there were some songs that were, you know, a few of our DJs are very interested to know about more. Like, there was a curious question. What was the influence between the Boxcar Diaries track?
I don't know, actually. The guitar part on it was something that I had written a couple months before I recorded it. I was with a girl at the time that kind of brought it out of me. And, yeah, I don't know. I think... not sure what the influence was, I guess. I hadn't done a song in that vein ever, any kind of lovey-dovey song, but it felt really good to do it.
That's interesting. Most of the other guesses were it's either about death or it was about, well, actually, I know somebody that used it to influence people to be motivated when everyone got laid off at their job, actually. It's funny, you know?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I guess you could take it like any way you want. I mean, it's more about just kind of standing tough, you know. Like the girl I was with was a pretty strong woman, and just kind of written like that, where like no matter how bad it is, it's just like know.
Yeah, you always have
time. If it gets worse, it gets worse. It is what it is, kind of.
You know, if you had to choose, what is one experience that maybe has molded or helped create the person that you are?
Growing up in Minneapolis, actually, kind of was like my second raising, like after I left my parents' house, and everyone that I met in Minneapolis that I hadn't known in Hopkins has kind of been like, you know, separate, you know, fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters to me. And, you know, like Rhymesayers, obviously, I grew up watching them build, and that was really inspiring. And all those people are very great, you know, once you get to know them. As far as like going from a fan point of view to a friend standpoint, and I think that's mainly what made me who I am.
Right. Alright. Do you have any upcoming tours coming up? Any shows coming up at all?
Well, we're on tour right now, actually.
Yeah. What is the name of the tour that you are on right now?
What's that? I'm sorry.
What's the name of the tour that you're on right now?
I guess we haven't given it a name.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Where are your appearances at? Where are you showing up? What's your schedule looking like?
Well, we're going to be in Denver on the 29th.
Nice. Where are you playing at in Denver, do you know?
Is it the Marquee Theater?
Oh, nice.
Oh, there we go.
Nice.
All right. That's not me. I'm right outside of San Francisco right now. Yeah, it's playing at the Marquee. Is it the Marquee Theater or Marquee Lounge? The 29th?
Yeah. For sure, for sure. And we'll definitely help promote that, just so you know, of course.
Oh, great.
What's the inspiration behind your name?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Desolator. Like, what's the inspiration behind the name?
Oh, wow. That's a really, that's probably like a 2-hour story. But it just has to do with, like, you know, some friends when I was living in Seattle, me and this girl's mother always thought that if we believed in reincarnation, that we would want to be otters. We used to chill and look at this otter exhibit all the time, and they just all seemed to have different personalities and kind of really lovable and seemed like they just love life. And we're like, yeah, if we could believe in reincarnation, that's what we want to be. And Cecil came from this old man named Cecil that I met playing blackjack a long time ago, and he seemed like he'd just done every single job there is to do. And he was about 85 years old and smiled more than anyone I'd ever seen. So that guy was really inspiring to me. So basically how the names clicked together.
Nice. That leads me kind of like to the next question. I mean, do you have like a certain message or idea you're trying to deliver with your music? Or, I mean, what do you want the audience to really come away with when they hear your music?
You know, I'm not sure. I've never really thought about it that way. I just start picking samples from records and start picking ideas out of my head and just whatever comes out. And it's kind of always meant to be, I don't know, almost, I don't want to say diplomatic, but I just try to like make things as fair as possible. Just try to explain situations that maybe people complain about and take way too seriously really aren't that pressing.
Right.
People should just kind of relax a little bit and see how they're actually affecting people with those things they think are very small or huge to other people.
Right.
And so I guess that's sort of the best way I could explain it right now.
That's a good way to put it, man. I mean, it's not much better way you can put it, you know? what's it like working with Strange Famous?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, immediately Sage he had got at me because when we first printed Rebel Yellow, it didn't have full distribution, and he wrote me this note that said he was kind of bummed that it didn't, and that obviously got my spirits up because I'm a huge fan of him. And then we eventually just talked about re-releasing it, and that turned into doing one more album after that on Strange Famous.
Nice.
And Sage is nothing but great. Calls a lot and kind of keeps me on my toes, keeps me working, and he's super supportive. They definitely don't try to push you in any other direction. They just, if they trust what you have, they just want to see what you come up with.
For sure, kinda set
for you free.
That's good. Best way you can handle it.
Yeah.
Have you worked with B. Dolan before, now that you're on the Strange Famous label?
As far as, like, making songs together?
Or just, you know, anything. You know, I mean, what's the deal with him? You know, he's kind of a man shrouded in mystery. No one really knows a lot about him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've hung out and we've played shows together, and I guess we haven't had too many talks about what we're going for in music. It's just mostly been kind of hanging out and becoming friends and getting to know each other. I hadn't known too many people on the SFR label, so mostly it's just been broing down and getting to know each other. But he's a super sweetheart of a dude, and he's an amazing, talented musician and writer and performer. I have utmost respect for him.
Nice. So sweet. I think that basically wraps up most of the questions we had.
Right on.
I would like to ask, actually, there is one more question I had asked. What are the pros and cons of studio recording versus live performing, and which one do you prefer?
I prefer live. I think I feed off of the crowd, definitely. Like, if their energy is super high, I'll play a song like I've never thought I could even play it. Like, I'll hit octaves that I never realized I could hit. And I kind of wish we could do all of our recordings live. But and not to say, like, doing it in the sound booth is a drag or anything. It's really nice. You get a good engineer, makes it really comfortable for you. But I definitely like performing more.
For sure. You know, and that kind of leads me to one of our questions. We ask this to every artist, you know. We are a pirate radio station, so we always ask this question. How does pirated music in general, like, and that's aside from radio, of course, but how does pirated music affect you directly?
I mean, I guess there's, I'm sure most people say, like, sales, I guess, but I think it's also, like, still, you know, marketing. People get to hear your music. They really want to hear it. Like, pirate it, I guess. I mean, there's stuff that I pirate, movies and albums. And,
yeah.
You know, I wish I had the money to buy everything I like, but sometimes when it's right there, you know, some people just, they really want to hear it.
For sure. The way I've seen it usually work with people, too, is, you know, they download it, and then it's more like a sampling. If they really like it, they will go buy it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we get that at the merch table every night. They'll say, you know, kids will always come up, be like, I feel really bad I downloaded it, but I'm here and I want to buy it now.
Yeah,
and a lot of kids are like, we couldn't find it at our stores, and like, so blah blah blah, and it was either get a credit card and go into iTunes or just pirate it, and I understand that, and so I think for the most part, I think 80% of the kids that have done it and come out to shows always buy an album.
Yeah, it's true. Either that, or they buy merchandise of some sort.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or they come out to the show and pay at the door, and that's always good too.
Exactly. You know, and finality, where do you see the direction of the music industry headed now that, you know, all these happenings are going on, all these changes? Where do you see music industry headed now?
Well, I guess, I mean, I'm not the best at guessing what it's going to do, but I'm just hoping that it gradually becomes more independent, and independent musicians start to really get paid for the hard work they put into it. So that's my hope.
Right.
I hope
nice.
We take over.
Any more False Hopes albums coming?
Yeah, me and Paper Tiger are working on an album called New Hopes for the Wretched. And it's all instrumental with a few singers throwing their own sparsely. And me and Laserbeak are talking about putting together a False Hopes called The Ephus Pitch.
Nice.
And we just started working on the first song last night on the road, so we have a pretty good plan for it. Hopefully finish it up before the fall.
Nice. Sweet. And just so you know, if you ever come into the Boulder area, just let us know, and, you know, or in the Denver area, of course.
Awesome.
And we'll always got you covered, man. So.
Oh, thank you so much, man.
No problem. Hey, do you mind if we get a drop out of you just for the station? It's for Green Light Radio 95.3 FM.
Green Light Radio 93.5?
95.3.
Green White Radio, 95.3 FM.
Yep.
All right. I'll wait for these people to pass. Do you want me to say this is Cecil Otter thing?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. This is Cecil Otter, and you're listening to Green Light Radio, 95.3 FM.
Sweet. Thanks, man. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right, yeah, and if we ever can, you know, we would love to get a live interview at any of your concerts, you know, do whatever we can do.
That would be great, man. Oh, Mark, are you guys going to come out to the show on the 29th if you got time?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, we're going to have someone there.